So, Emery, we're going to have you start us off with an opening prayer.
All right. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, swallow. I've been looking for a shot of Kahlua for my
Now, Emery, I'm going to disturb you one more time by letting you know that on the agenda, the first item is the interim rector's report.
And I have the great privilege this morning of telling you that you have a copy, I believe, of my report, do you not?
Yes.
And I'm not going to read it, but I think that I know you well enough to know that everyone in here can read. But my message to you is that Trinity is alive and well. We are thankful for God's blessings here in the past, for the healing that has occurred, that I've insisted all along has to occur in the conduct of all that we do for Christ in this place. There is no special program that will bring about healing, but doing what we do with all of our hearts, with sorrow for our sins, for strengthening of our lives by God's Spirit's presence. These are the things that bring us wholeness. And I want to tell you that Trinity is the healthiest place that I've ever worked. And I want to thank you for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Emery. Well, I'm thrilled to be here and to welcome you all to Trinity for this my final annual meeting as senior warden and the final annual meeting for Sue Evanson as junior warden. We're thrilled not only to say it's our final annual meeting in those roles, but we're thrilled to be here with you all today as we celebrate the life of Trinity Church over the last year. We'd like to first introduce you to those people who help make the church function and operate day to day. And without those folks, especially in the course of the last year, it would have been a bit more challenging. I'm going to have Emery one more time stop chewing and introduce the staff, and then we'll introduce you to the vestry.
That's Otho's way of saying you've had enough to eat. I'm so grateful that the staff of the church is here, those of us who work here regularly in our services, but also our office staff who have given of their time and dedication to come out and help us in this annual meeting. First of all, I'd like to present to you someone everybody knows, our parish administrator, Debbie Stedman. Where are you? Debbie is that person who answers the phone so fast that you don't know what church you've called. And she wants to keep it that way. Who knows everything that has ever gone on here and has a file on it somewhere, Debbie, right? And the newest member of the staff in the office is Jane Ellen Nugent. Jane Ellen? Jane has taken on the mammoth task of the bulletins and helping to prepare the tidings.
Well, that's just a couple of things. And then, of course, Debbie gives her loads of things to do that defy description. But Jane Ellen, it's so good to have you aboard the church staff. And, you know, we could present a lot more people because there's a volunteer in there every day. And we appreciate those people who volunteer. Thank you. And now the staff of the church, you know the clergy, and Steve Wilson is our youth and family ministries director. Steve, where are you? And they all be true. But the man never ceases to amaze me. And I think that he does the best job that I've ever seen done in a church I've worked in. We're grateful for Tim and we love him very much. Is Ed in here? He was in here. But what would we do without a custodian? When everything goes wrong, we yell for Ed, whether it's his fault or not. But I'm grateful for the work that he does. Who have I left out?
Cindy.
Cindy, where are you, Cindy? Cindy is indispensable in this church, and she blesses us with our regular staff meeting every week, breaking away from those who are clamoring for her attention in the day school. Cindy is a valuable employee of the church and is great in leadership. And she told me that if I did not tell you this, that I was going to be sorry. So I, under threat, I'm telling you, if you know people who have children who are the age to be enrolled in day school, then you send them to see Cindy. Cindy, didn't you tell me that? Thank you.
That's it. And I want to introduce you quickly to our incredible vestry. I have been so honored to work with a vestry that works incredibly hard. Each member takes his or her job incredibly seriously. They're creative. They are a group that engages in robust conversation in a really wonderful, loving, and respectful way, and constantly mindful of what is in the best interest of this entire parish and church. And so I want to introduce you. I'm going to try to go down the line. Introduce you to Susan Wells, who's in charge of outreach. Susan actually is going to be somebody you're going to hear from a little later on today. Outreach, as Emery mentioned in his sermon today, is something that we want to elevate and as an important theme. Sue Evanson, you know, our junior warden, who is going to be leaving with me today, just an angel on earth. We'll be recognizing the outgoing members in just a few minutes, but I do want to mention Dave Reese, who's in charge of governance, who's done a fabulous job. Laura Hustis, in charge of spiritual life, spiritual formation. Val Jopling, who works with Cindy Bove in daycare. John Dokas, day school. I say that every time I mention day school. John Dokas, Trinity Youth Group. Sandy Ryan, worship and music. Fred Caberna, who is in charge of communication. Communication is an area that Sue and I a few years ago said we wanted to focus on, elevating communication by way of improving transparency without burdening you with too much information. And I think Fred has taken that on very seriously and done a terrific job. Kim Sager, who has been, how many ministries have you run? But most currently, she's in charge of church school. And she has been somebody who every time she started off with governance, then what was it? Pastoral care, and done a terrific job. She turned over the pastoral care reins to Earlene Austin, who's done just a wonderful job. Another area that Sue Evanson and I said we wanted to elevate was fellowship in this church. And Jane McNeil has taken that mandate on in a way like you wouldn't believe. And being in charge of parish life, she is, hopefully all of you have felt improved fellowship and the activities around here. And I want to thank Jane McNeil, who deserves a vacation. And Richard Dodds, who's on the road as much as anybody will know, somehow through some kind of remote device, manages to keep the property in good repair, working with a terrific committee, and he's in charge of property. So I want to thank all of them. In a moment, we will recognize the outgoing members, but I do want to give my senior warden's report, which is contained in the annual report. I am going to read it, actually, because I'm not so certain. I do think that folks read what's presented to them. So instead of giving you something else, I do want to give you my senior warden's report here today. Today is the fifth Sunday following Epiphany. On the first Sunday following this year's Feast of the Epiphany, Emory preached on that glorious moment when Jesus was praying and received the Holy Spirit. Emory expounded on how Jesus prayed prior to every magnificent moment chronicled in the Gospels, giving praise and thanks to God as he did so. And reporting on the past year in my capacity as senior warden, it would be easy to lick one's wounds. However, it's actually far more joyful for me to follow Jesus' lead and to give God praise and thanks for the blessings that were bestowed upon us in 2009, blessings that allowed me and hopefully this entire parish to fully appreciate the magnificence of God's glory in the face of adversity. Today, as I step down as senior warden, I give praise and thanks to God. I give praise and thanks to God for leading Trinity toward recovery, with the average pledge here at Trinity up about 20% this past year. We enter 2010 financially sound. Trinity feels vibrant, and we're beginning to look outwardly at the needs of others rather than our own needs. We've not fully recovered, but we're well on our way. I give praise and thanks for a church staff that never stopped fulfilling its promise to do God's work and to keep this church functioning. Despite the turmoil swirling all around you, you remain steadfast in your willingness to give your heart to the ongoing operations of Trinity. Each one of you, Debbie, Ginny, Debbie, Tim, Cindy, Ed, Ann, Joel, Steve, and Lynn, were reliably helpful at every turn, and you always sought to do what needed to be done to ensure the vitality of this church. I give praise and thanks for a vestry that assumed responsibilities that it never imagined it would assume. Before you knew it, you were fully responsible for ensuring that nothing fell between the cracks in the operation of your respective ministries. As you lost members, you gained truly helpful, joyful members who were determined to do God's work, and you embraced the importance of loving each other and defaulting toward love. Oh, how I loved working with each one of you, Sandy, Val, Fred, Dave, John, Kim, Laura, Jane, Richard, Susan, and Earlene, and our officers, Meg, Doug, and Dave. Each one of you has been steadfast, thoughtful, caring, and hardworking. What has been especially compelling about you has been your indefatigable love and concern for those Trinity friends who found it necessary to step away from Trinity in the past year. You're the model of an outstanding vestry. Thank you. I give praise and thanks for the gift of time that was given to us by resigning vestry members Chris, Irma, Angela, Ann, and Kimberly. I give praise and thanks for Reverend Christine Ritter and Bill Wood, who last year were a daily presence in the lives of their wardens. How much I love them. With love and care, you were the wind beneath our wings, helping us to stay the course when the light at the end of the tunnel seemed to be but a dream. I give praise and thanks to Caroline Oakes McCarthy, Jeff Harrison, Kyle Evans, Ann Comberna, Dick Enriquez, and Betty Stagg, who offered immeasurable counsel. Your opinions always resonated with me. You each have a spiritually led wisdom that deserves attention, and your influence on me and on my decisions was profound. I give praise and thanks for parishioners like Patrick and Barry Summers and Kim Laughlin. You each understand the importance of speaking truth to power when wrongs are recklessly rendered, and you are proof that if you stand up for a cause with grace and dignity, change is indeed possible. I give praise and thanks for parishioners like Natalie Thomas and Kristen Stuber, who are just some of the wonderful volunteers who took on and take on major projects at Trinity last year and going forward, and then give it your all. Trinity relies on volunteers like you to assume roles that are not vestry positions, but that are arguably just as critical. We didn't need to concern ourselves with whether you were doing your job. You just did it. I give praise and thanks for our friends who've left Trinity because they're a part of who we are. You have influenced us in many ways. Perhaps with my stepping down as warden, you'll find that it might be just the right time for you to return to your church home. You are loved and missed. I give praise and thanks joyfully for the lives of Wally Sellers and Monty Montgomery. They may no longer be with us, but they supported Sue and me in ways that have outlived them, and that will serve as a wonderful legacy to their names. And maybe, just maybe, many of our friends who had not returned to Trinity in the many months until Monty's funeral will have discovered that Trinity still resonates as their church home. I give praise and thanks for the Van Slykes. You not only took on the onerous task of leading the stewardship campaign in the most challenging year imaginable, but you're responsible for reintroducing me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in which we're reminded of the importance of love. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. I give praise and thanks for Trey Wilson for his love and counsel as he lived through all of this with me. I give praise and thanks for Emery Byram. For all of the stupendously obvious reasons. Thank you. Emery, you see the joy, you see the goodness in Trinity. Love and joy ooze out of your pores, infecting others in such a way that peace and tranquility have returned to Trinity in a profound way. You inspire us and you educate us. You're a special pastoral presence that makes us feel cared for. The vestry indeed showed informed insight in calling you because you're exactly what Trinity needed and still needs. And God, I'm going to cry saying this too. Oh, I give praise and thanks for Sue Evanson, Trinity's junior warden. Sue, you are an angel. You've never... Oh, if you can just breathe in. You can read what I think about Sue. But I love Sue so much, and she's been such a steadfast presence. Finally, I can read the rest with a straight face. Finally, I give praise and thanks to everyone who is at Trinity today, because your presence is evidence that you have done your part to help Trinity recover, and I thank you for that. Under the leadership of your two presumptive wardens, Dave Griffith and Lori Perkins, Trinity enters 2010 in good shape to recover further. If we learn to truly default to love and how we engage each other, the road ahead will be nothing but glorious. Thanks be to God for this magnificent church. Amen. And thanks be to Sue. Thank you. Thanks for the Kleenex. Thank you. We are going to move onward quickly to the election of the wardens and new vestry members. Did you want to say thanks first, I guess?
One other thing to do before the election, there are some gifts for the retiring members of the vestry and for our wardens. You can start out with that while I go to the
conference. Kim, John, and Dave. Maybe we'll go around.
Dave Reese has done a wonderful job leading governance. Governance is a job that we started a few years ago, whereby this committee would do strategic planning, take care of nominations of vestry members, and also just look at the overall governance and operations of the church, such as looking at the bylaws. And Dave has worked incredibly hard. We're going to miss you on the vestry, and thank you for all your wonderful work. John Hocus, one thing I love about John Hocus in vestry meetings, he always asks, but what about the kids? His perspective is so, so vigilant, and he cares about the kids. And if you make a decision, he's going to only ask, what about the kids? And I thank you for leading the youth group effort and also being such a wonderful Sunday school teacher as well. You're going to be missed on the vestry, but I'm going to be continue pace with youth activities. As you know, we came up with vestry norms last year, and one of my favorite vestry norms is the fact that we talked about listening to each other, hearing each other, and doing your homework in advance. The final list of norms is hugs are good, and that was developed by and finally, Kim Sager, who Kim Sager is involved in everything. That's why she came on three different ministries over a three-year period, because she was so well versed in all that we do. She's somebody that you have a difficult time saying no to. She knows how to ask you to be involved, and she gets you involved. And I thank you for the many ways you've gotten us involved in all of our various activities, be it Bible school, Vacation Bible School, or Mission Philadelphia, and Lobster Fest, and every other thing that you do. Thank you, Kim. We're going to miss you as well.
We have a wonderful gift that is on its way for Sue Evanson. Sue,
I do consider my angel, and I think so many of us consider her an angel here. But the other thing about angels in Sue's life is that she loves to spread the joy of angels. She shares angels with others, she believes in angels, and we thought it only appropriate to get her an angel as a way of saying thanks and goodbye to the vestry. This is not something that you're going to fall in love with, because it's not yours to keep. It's a loaner. But unfortunately, we couldn't get here in time. A lot of
Oh. I can't.
Well, he did it to us, didn't he? Otho has said it so well, and you have said to me, every time you have talked about Otho Kerr, nobody could have done what he did at Trinity. And I'm here to tell you, you're a survivor. This vestry is on the launching pad for an excellent year ahead of us, because the people who are replacing these irreplaceables, who if they think they're retiring have another thought coming, but the people who are coming on board are gifted and dedicated people who will pick up the task that has been started by this vestry. And it will continue, and I'm looking forward to working with them. But there's no way we can repay Otho and Sue. Sue took me in tow before I actually came to work here. About a month before I came to work here, she said, there's work to do. We've got to make visits. And she chauffeured me to nursing homes and assisted living facilities to start with, to introduce me to people I did not know, whom I've since come to love and know quite well. And I will never forget that. And I told Sue that she must stay close by, because there's no way I could do the job without Sue's presence. And I'm grateful for that beyond measure. Otho. I could not complete the presentation of your gift today because there's been a recall of Toyota products. And your Lexus is not available.
I hope every time you pick this up and open it, you'll think about how much Trinity.
Okay, Sue, stand up. In thinking of what Sue enjoys the most, well, if you've ever been into her home, you can see how much she loves flowers. And the thing that she has, the only time I've heard her criticize her husband was was about the fact that while she was sick, the laundry piled up so much in the kitchen that the flowers were blocked from getting sunlight. We're trying to rectify that. We love you and thank you for all that you are and do.
So my final act as senior warden will be to introduce Dave Reese, who will lead us in the election of wardens and new vestry members. And at that point, assuming all goes well, the virtual gavel will be handed over to Dave Griffith, and he will lead you in the rest of the meeting.
Thank you, Otho. I think we need to start a building fund so we can name it after Otho Kerr and Sue Evanson. Anyway, well, thank you all for being here. Today we will elect vestry representatives for the following ministries: church school, finance, governance, stewardship, and youth. We'll also I should say, Laurie Perkins and David Griffiths are also standing for the vestry, and if elected, they'll become the junior and senior warden. We also will elect representatives to the 2010 Diocesan Convention and to the Bucks County Deanery. Just as a way of background, we tried very hard this year to ensure that this process was very transparent and that everyone in the parish had a chance to get to know the nominees. We also made sure that everyone in the parish knew that the nominees here for this these seats that came through the vestry were not the only ones. If anyone wanted to nominate somebody independently, they could. And so I think that process was pretty successful. Our bylaws require us to have a nominating committee, and that committee really is formed by Emory, and the governance chair sort of facilitates the process, and it includes the outgoing vestry members as well as, this year, four members of the parish who are not in the vestry, and I'd just like to recognize those people. Inez Bing, I think, who is absent. Betty Stagg. Betty, would you like to stand up? Matt Summers was also on the committee, and Bill Wolf. And I want to thank you all for your hard work. That committee met several times in October and November, and we received nominations from a number of quarters, and we interviewed people and talked to them about their interests. And this year, for I think the first time in a long time, we actually have nominees for all the slots that are opening up on the vestry. So that was, I think that's really a testament to that committee. Thank you. All right, so at this point, I'd like to ask the individuals who are standing for nomination who are nominated to rise. Reed McCarthy is nominated for finance. Eric Van Slyke, nominated for stewardship. Kim Lachlan for youth. Jen Summers for church school. Joe Thomas for governance. Val Jopling was an appointment. Val, do you want to stand up? Val was appointed to the Trinity Day School slot this year, so we also need to confirm her appointment. Sandy Ryan, similarly, was appointed to worship and spiritual life. And then finally, Dave Griffiths and Laurie Perkins are standing for vestry. So here's the vote. All in favor of accepting these nominees to represent the parish on the vestry, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. The ayes have it. Congratulations. All right. At this time, I'd like to ask the nominees who are for the diocesan representative. And the Bucks County Deanery to stand. I think they're here. Emily Wolf, are you here? She's not here. Joe Thomas is here. Is Mary Miller here? No. And Cliff, are you here? No. Okay. Well, Emily is our representative to the Bucks Deanery. She's actually been formally adopted by the deanery. Joe, Mary, and Cliff are candidates to represent us at the Diocesan Convention in 2010. So all in favor of accepting these nominees as representatives, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Congratulations. And now it's my privilege to hand over the meeting to our new senior, I guess he's senior warden. Have you appointed him? You have to appoint him.
I hereby appoint you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Just would you mind making sure it's official with her first? Reed, you want to come up here, woman?
Congratulations, you're appointed.
Thank you. We In this part of the meeting, we want to cover the finances, and I've asked Reed to come forward. And we're going to do this together because Reed and I worked over the last three, 4 months in transition as we had some change in the Finance Committee. And I would call to your attention the Parrish Report on Finance, if you could follow. We will very briefly go through this. Just want to hit the highlights, and then obviously if you have questions, the easy ones I'll take, the complex ones will be Reed's, and we'll go through this, I hope, fairly quickly. The highlights are pretty spectacular. Given the economy, given the transition that we went through this year, we finished the year extremely strong, and frankly, the prospects for next year, we're going to talk about a challenge budget, because that's the nature of Trinity, and I'll go through that detail in a little bit here. Let's just, though, the part that we are obligated to report to you is that as of 12/31, between checking and our investment accounts, we had $241,000, 803 to be precise, on hand. We have an outstanding mortgage loan balance of $245,420. With an annual obligation of $41,000. We have a restricted funds balance of $179,110. And of particular note, we have an unrestricted funds balance of $97,429. And those of you who have heard me speak before, I often refer to that unrestricted fund as the rainy day fund. And we'll come back to that in a minute. We've been blessed that as we've had bequests and generosities that have come in unrestricted, we've been able to build up that unrestricted fund. And in fact, that is just a tremendous blessing as we look out with some of the work we need to do. I think perhaps the best way is if you could go to this sheet, the 209 actual performance, and follow from there. This is pretty straightforward. You can see the pledge income, the plate, and note the plate at 91,000. That is a historic high here. Fundraising through just hundreds of folks who do the work in Mission Philly or Christmas or house tour, we've been able to raise the sums you see there. And then there's other that comes in for a total of 568. Now, the line item detail for this, for those of you who are so inclined, is available in the parish office. You can ask Debbie for a copy. I just didn't want to have 15 pages of numbers here. You can see the personnel, property, office, ministry, outreach, and that number does not include the 33. We also took from restricted $7,500 and applied that to outreach at year end. You can see professional fees and then the debt is going to. So we finished the year with all the hits we took on the top, officially down about $8,000. Now, I would call to your attention that there's about $5,700 that came in late pledges. The office is closed the last week, and so pledges come in. They get booked in January. So we were darn close. And if you think in June or July, there was a lot of speculation that we'd be down 60, 80, you know, a lot of talk. If we would just learn to listen to Doug. So we should be mindful of that. Now, I would ask you to pull out the 210 challenge budget. And we call it a challenge for the simple reason that the vestry and the finance committee and Reed and I sat down and we decided that this was not the time, given what we knew about our top line revenue, to book a balanced budget. We have work to do. You take a look at what we just got done with Haiti, and I don't think we're done there, but in two weekends, we raised $13,000 as a parish. Kyle's making very clear to me we're not done with Haiti. That was the look there. But we have stuff we need to do, folks. One of the things, if you go down the challenge budget, I would just tick through these. We gave long-term employees a raise, and they've been frozen for 3 years. We added $7,500 to building maintenance. The building that we live in is 10 years old. Those of us who were here in the fire, it'll be amazing. But there's stuff we need to do, and deferred maintenance will come back and bite us if we don't address it. We decided to add to ministries a full budget. You heard the theme of outreach, and you're going to hear more from Susan on that, and then I'll come back in my remarks. But a church like Trinity needs to do the work that we're called to do, and ministries are just as much a part of outreach as anything else. So we added 11,008 there. We did another check for 2,500 to outreach to add there, and we held the other the levels, although given the weather of late, and I'm kind of glad we did this, plowing and insurance we addressed. So if you take and add that up, we would show a deficit of 25,000. Now, there's a couple of things that I know are going to happen based on having done this for a while, and I would come up to the comments piece. We took the plate down to a historic level. We've run at 91. We took the plate down to historic levels. I'm not sure how that's going to run. But it, right now, that 91 looks like a potentially a more realistic number. But we booked a lower number to be conservative. Eric and I will be reaching out to folks. We still have 100 folks that we need to reach out and talk to about pledging. And that needs to happen. And that's a goal and objective that we have as we go forward. And I would remind you, we have 91,000 in unrestricted funds available. And if there was ever a time when we should go to a rainy day fund, when you look at what happens in places like Haiti and what's going on in the wider world and the economy, this would be the time to reach out. We finished at break even. My prediction is that we will finish way better than break even. And the vestry made the decision that if we do, we will go dollar for dollar once we get back to break even to ministries and to outreach. And that's a goal that we as a parish really need to embrace and get on. We have the capacity to do the work. We really need to do it. That in a nutshell, Reed was in doing the audit. We have completed the audit, so he couldn't do the budget while he was doing the audit. But I'm particularly pleased that Reed's taken on the finance responsibility, because now he has the responsibility to implement everything he noted in the audit. So that worked out pretty well. Let me just turn over the mic to Reed, because I know you have some philosophical things he wants to share, and then we're happy to go through any questions.
Thank you, Dave. My comments are very short. I've got two goals for the Finance Committee this year. One is transparency. I want to make sure that we're transparent in all that we do, and also clarity. I want to make sure that our presentation is clear. And so I'm going to work with the committee on that score this year, and I do thank you for the faith and trust that you've reposed in the committee and myself. Thank you.
Thank you, Reed. Any questions? That would be a first. Doug? Here's the other half of the audit committee. Good. This is not a good side. Yeah. We have been building that fund. There's about 130,000 that we have on account as we sit here. Doug and I have a little bit of debate about exactly how to classify. We did not draw that down. We actually added to it. We have ample cash on hand throughout the year, and as you know, we'll tap into that cash. But as we came into the back end of the year, we were able to save cash. Interesting contrast. Easter plate was $3,000 or $4,000. Christmas plate was in excess of $13,000. Just to give you an idea of, now, one could say Emery came right before Easter. And, you know, we had spectacular response from the parish. So that's steady. My ambition would be that we don't tap the rainy day fund. Frank, do we have the capacity and the ability to do it, but it gives us a comfort level to just say, you know what, we're going to stretch and do the things we need to do. So that's where that comes from. Anything else? All right, with that, then, thank you, Reed. And I believe, Susan, your report on outreach. Now, we have talked about the importance of outreach and it being one of three focus items that the vestry has, and for that point we asked Susan to comment on specifically what we're doing. And I would ask you to be mindful, we do a lot. I'm not sure that we have the visibility to it that maybe we need to. So, Susan?
After Emory's sermon this morning, I think we're all in the same picture here. If you would just allow me a couple of general comments, and yes, I've got handouts, of course. You know I teach. You have to have handouts. Okay. But I'm happy to report that the state of outreach at Trinity is robust, varied, and moving forward. Bishop Michael's hallelujah when he heard about the donations that Trinity had made for Haiti so quickly. Your outpouring of concern and prayer, as well as those donations, that reflects a larger reality of what's going on here. Doug will tell you at any time that we have a significant financial commitment to outreach. And you can see that just by reading what's there. The needs are tremendous. But beyond even this, friends, new friends, acquaintances are getting together. They're working. They're praying. They're dreaming. They're putting into action those things that Emory was talking about in terms of our call. Putting into action what we're actually hearing. When every time we read Form 4, as we did today, Prayers of the People, take a look at that next time and think about it in terms of outreach and how that works into all the different ministries that these people represent up here. And it's happening. It's happening here at Trinity. That doesn't mean it's enough. Okay? It will never be enough. God's always going to stretch us. And I hope we're always going to respond to the call the best we possibly can. It really matters. Folks, you're changing the world. In some cases, it's one person at a time, but you are actually doing it, not just talking about it. That matters. Please turn to your outreach reports. I'm going to whip through some of this. Follows the financials. Okay, it's right here. Outreach is, in my mind, probably erroneously, but divide into two major groups, what we do locally and what we do internationally. We have a member of the parish who said to me last month after my report was written, I really think we should do things within 15 miles. I paid attention to that, and then I went back and took a look at this. There is a lot that we do within 15 miles of Trinity, or 20 or 30, you know, it's an approximation. And if you take a look here on the first page, piecemeal, this is a huge outpour. Every month, people are coming together. And now we have St. Philip's and Trinity Buckingham joining us in this outreach event. And we are hoping to grow it, not shrink it. Do things that are additional. Aid for friends. Sometimes you don't pay attention to these little bulletin things. I mean, I don't. There's a lot going on. Aid for Friends is a group that gets together on Friday morning. Cinda Ball runs this. If I say run it, it's a group of folks that cook occasionally, once every month, 6 weeks. Last year, they provided over 400 meals to the Doylestown Aid for Friends, shut-ins, folks who can't get out. This is huge, and pastoral care works with this too. Fisherman's Mark. You know, we've been focusing a lot on Fisherman's Mark, and you've done a great job. The numbers have gone from almost 200 to 900 being served. It's huge. The Delaware Valley Interfaith Council. I'm not going to read all of this, but Super Bowl, what you put in today, that goes right in one check down to that particular second food pantry that we're supporting in the New Hope Lambertville area, and that's primarily for women and children. There's also a list of things, it's in your bulletin, of things that you could provide for that second basket underneath the harvest table out front. Lots of things. Mission Philly, there's just lots and lots of things. internationally, globally, Mwamba. Right now, 28 students are being supported through and by members of Trinity. That's about, on top of that outreach budget you saw, that's about another $11,200 or thereabouts, okay? On top of the $13,000, if you want to just talk money, I mean, following finance, I feel like I should say something, okay? Trinity gives and gives, and people are committed. These scholarships really matter, okay? If you can't, pay attention. Talk to Sally Dreyer or Kyle. If you haven't thought about it, if you can't do a complete one yourself this year, you want your kids involved and they can't do a complete one, but they can raise money for partial, please do that. Think about it. Because at that point where you've got a student in high school, and two of these students now are post-high school that families are taking care of, when they're receiving funds for a high school education, and it's largely women, young women, many of them HIV orphans, you're changing their possibilities. You're changing how their communities look at them, what they can do for their community. This really matters. I mean, everything matters, of course. But here you can see it one-to-one, not something general. Tabasamu. Now, because Tabasamu was going to go to Haiti probably in May, because of the disaster in Haiti, that's probably going to be postponed until this fall. If you can liberate the time to go, if you want to donate, talk to Trey. But what's happening in Tabasamu, you can go hands-on. You don't need professional training here. Trey will help you. That group goes down as a mission group. And again, just the education part of teaching people how to deal with their mouths and their teeth, all right? We take it for granted. You know how miserable you are if you have something wrong with your mouth? I mean, it seems so simple, and it means so much. The Mayan Hands, the Siemens Institute. All of these are details, and I've got handouts for you, so I'm not going to go into it too much. In terms of disbursements, Trinity does give a lot. We were a little cautious this year, but I've listed some things down below that you can see. All of this is from the outreach budget. This does not include Mwamba. It does not include Haitian relief. It does not include Tabasamu. But these are things that are more local that you, through your outreach budget, are supporting. Now, all this is good. I mean, it's great, actually. Trinity, you are wonderful. When David says robust, he's right. Energetic, varied. On each of the points that I just made, there's a name or a person for you. You can contact if you wanted to just ask about it, get involved perhaps. I would say try something. Try something totally new. Something you haven't done before. Something you and your kids can do together. Something that you've got a friend, and you're standing at a party, and they say, as we all do, I need to do something. Do it. You've got the possibilities. And if it doesn't work out, you'll still be making new friends, you'll have done something good, and you can try something else. There's so much variety here, and so much possibility and potential. The call is going to be very varied. You know, as Emery was preaching this morning, one of the things he said, you know, when Jesus calls us, sometimes he calls us from one thing to another. And we don't always know where the end is going to be. It's the journey that's so important. That's where you're growing. That's where your talents are coming into play. That's where you will have new friends and new possibilities. And I'm hoping that you'll take this challenge. Take time to sit back. Consciously consider how you and outreach can serve your interests, your abilities. You'll be enthusiastically welcomed. This is not a top-down process. If you look through that outreach report, you'll see there are lots of mini ministries going on here, all over. I didn't even mention the Hammerers, and I love that. There's much to do. Anyway, I've got handouts for you, of course. And there are two different ones. This one is Bucks and Beyond. They're going to be at the back. All right, so you can pick one as you go. And it's got contact phone numbers and things that you can do, people to reach. This, a little bit thicker, I'm hoping more of you will take. This is Micro Ministries, and it's local. And it starts with things that you can commit to for an hour, a week, a month, you know, at a time. Try it. Give it an attempt, because we have to work together, you know, if we're going to work in our communities, if we're going to heal, if we're going to grow. And this is, I think, one of the cutting edges. I'm rambling on a little bit because there's so much exciting stuff to happen, and there's so many exciting things that are going on. You should really be very, very, very happy. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. We're going to change the agenda just slightly here, and if I could ask the new vestry to come forward, we need to be commissioned, and we're going to do that now. So if I could ask you to come forward, and those of you who are also remaining serving, Kim, don't be so fast to leave. But if we could swap seats here.
While Dave is passing the commissioning ceremony to the vestry and wardens who will be participating, I would like to fulfill another part of the agenda, which is my responsibility, and that is to address the guidelines and responsibilities of vestries. And that won't take but a few moments. The term vestry originated in Great Britain, as so many things about our faith did, and referred originally to the room next to the nave, that's where we are, where the sacred vessels and vestments are kept. We call it the sacristy now, but it was originally called the vestry. And those conducting parish business met in that room. And that's how the name vestry came to be associated with the lay leaders of the church. The executive committee of the vestry in most churches is made up of the two wardens and the rector. A lot of times that's not the way all Episcopal churches do, but you can't get all Episcopal churches to agree even on the Ten Commandments. But the principle behind this, as well as the whole structure of the Episcopal Church and the Anglican Communion, is one of ordered and diffused authority. The canon law of the church charges the vestry with the following responsibilities. Responsibility with the rector in promoting the spiritual welfare of the parish. To aid the rector in the institution conduct, in development of the program of the church both within and without the parish. To be the agent and legal representative in all matters concerning property, maintain the buildings and furnishings, maintain other property, rectory, parking lot, grounds, etc., to provide adequate insurance also for the property and possessions of the church, to be responsible for the finances of the parish, for raising money, for the prompt payment of salaries and bills, for the prudent care of trust funds, for endowments and bequests, for the sale and transfer of securities and other assets with diocesan approval, I add, for sale or encumbering such things, to maintain records, and that constant pressure of the annual report. That means the parochial report, for the budget, to approve expenditures and to recommend and approve salaries, to recruit, encourage, train, and guide candidates for holy orders. I bet you didn't realize that responsibility, but you're to be on the lookout for people who possess the gifts that could lead them into holy orders, to represent the parish in its relations with the rector. That's extremely important. To serve as a council of advice for the rector, particularly when requested, but not always. If it isn't requested, you ought to give it anyway. And to, when there is a vacancy, to elect a rector, because it is the vestry that gives the final vote on the call of a rector. Those are the responsibilities of a vestry. And you can go into lots of other things that I'm not going to go into this morning. The means of election, the eligibility for the vestry, and the makeup of the vestry. But I want to say one other thing before the commissioning actually, and you have copies of it in hand. I want you to know that both Dave and Lori have my total confidence, and I'm so grateful that they are going to be leading us as wardens in this church. You're holding in your hand the service of commissioning, which comes from the Book of Occasional Services. We call that the BOS. So your part is in bold print. You don't have much to say, but you have a whale of a lot to do. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. I am your servant. Grant me understanding.
And I may know your decrees.
Let us pray. O eternal God, the foundation of all wisdom and the source of all courage, enlighten with your grace the wardens and vestry of this congregation, and so rule their minds and guide their counsels that in all things they may seek your glory and promote the mission of your church through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I commission you as wardens and members of the vestry of Trinity Parish. God bless you. I look forward to working with you.
Take a seat, guys. Oh, yeah. That's all right. Nice try. Well, I'm mindful that some of you would like to be done before kickoff, so let me just give a few remarks, and then we will conclude with a prayer for memory. First, thank you all for your vote of confidence. It means a lot. And to Emory for asking me to serve as your senior warden. And second, I want to acknowledge the work of our outgoing vestry members and especially note the contributions of Sue and Otho. If you live in Sue's neighborhood, you don't have a choice. You have to serve on the vestry. So, rarely have the words, "well done, good and faithful servants," been more appropriate. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for the work you've done. I must admit, I certainly hope for a calmer watch. Lori, your junior warden and I have been blessed to have the opportunity to talk and listen to many of you in the time we have had before the annual meeting. In these conversations, you have shared your hopes for our church. She and I are listening and have started conversations with the vestry and Emory, and while it is far too early to speak of specific plans, actions, or timetables, remember, we haven't had our first meeting as a new vestry, a direction is clearly apparent, and you've heard us talk to this outreach theme. I know this, though, and you saw an example from Susan just a moment ago, that many of our programs are well underway and established, be it youth, pastoral care, parish life, stewardship, music, house tour, finance, outreach, to name just a few. We certainly have a healthy rhythm and history in place. But what emerges from our conversations that we've had and will continue to have are the following comments and observations. We are first a church. We are first a church. Second, we are a community called and with the capacity to care for each other and the wider community, be that down the street or in the reaches of Haiti, Guatemala, or Africa. And while I feel very good about where we are as a parish, let's be honest, we still have some healing to do. Some feelings are deep and not easily resolved, and I want to acknowledge all of these. And those that have not yet been articulated to me, I am mindful we have had shared experiences, but depending on who you are and your perspective, they have not necessarily been a common one. So with all that, let me suggest a set of ideas and directions that can guide us in the days and months ahead to aid our healing process in the time of transition that we find ourselves in. These have emerged from conversations and dialogue both with current and past vestry, wardens, staff, and rectors. I got some advice from my rector from our church in Florida. A healthy church is a growing church. Focus on health and all else will follow. Let me say that again. Focus on health and all else will follow. Health comes from people knowing each other and in knowing God together, be it collectively or through individual worship and spiritual practice. Health comes from open, honest conversation and in listening to each other. Health comes from respect. Health comes from understanding what it is that God calls us to do, and that, in my experience, is a constant journey. To that end, the vestry and staff will focus on outreach, but also worship and fellowship with the parish in the days ahead. The overriding theme is to find the opportunity to do the work we are called to do as a church in our community, to come together in worship, and to break bread together. With all three, we have the common opportunity to get to know each other, not just old friends, but new ones. As we spend time talking, doing, praying, and eating, we will have the chance to listen to each other, share common things, and learn anew from each other. In doing so, we continue to be healthy. We saw this at work as recently as our last Julia dinner. We are blessed with a rector in Emory who knows us and can actively lead us in and through this process. We have the financial resources, capacity, and people with talent to make our mission happen, and our challenge budget reflects this. We need to move forward and not hunker down in these times. Hunkering is not healthy. A church like Trinity needs to lead, especially in these times. With such a focus underway, and at a time that will be obvious when we get there, we will conduct a parish study. But we will do so off a solid base provided by outreach, worship, and fellowship, and the relationships created therein. Only when we know each other well can we create a blueprint of our parish that lets us call a new rector successfully. And when that study is done, and done right, we can start a search for a new and permanent rector. But let me be very clear here. We need time to do this right. And Bishop Michael has been very, very clear in his advice to us. In fact, he grants permission for when this process starts. My ambition and experience suggest that different committees will do the work of the parish study and the search when the time comes. But that's a ways off. In the meantime, we have work to do. Focus on health and all things will follow. Focus on outreach, worship, and fellowship as a means to do the work we are called to do and to experience God in our lives. We have no reason to rush. We have the gift of time, and I would hope the scar tissue of recent events, to challenge us to focus on parish health and to come through this time of transition in a better place. I am also reminded that our vestry is a volunteer organization. I would ask that you remember that as well. Good people offering up their time and talent to work with the staff and rector to maintain, create, and grow a vibrant church on the hill that has and continues to hold such promise. You have my commitment to listen, my commitment to lead through service, to make decisions when called, and I pray to lead by example. My habit as a manager in my day job has been to run an open door, open book company. My style is not likely to change here. My specific job is to support our rector and assistant and to give them the support to be as effective as they can be. You have elected a very talented vestry, and I am honored to serve with them. Our bench has never been so deep, and we need to leverage the experience that is available to us. And so, my simple challenge to you this day is to participate in the life of a healthy Trinity. Reach out and know someone new. Do something new. Have a conversation with someone you don't know. Create common experiences. Participate in outreach. Participate in active worship. And participate in fellowship. Shape who we are becoming, and who God is calling us to be. Again, I am grateful for Trinity and look forward to the days and months ahead. It is an exciting time. Thank you. Emery?
We'll ask our priest associate to give us a benediction. Yes.
Barry, thank you for, and I appreciate that. You'll note in the budget that we allocated $6,000 for professional services. As we go forward and we continue to do the work that we need to do, and there's a number of things that will indicate health and guidance from the bishop and from Emory, we will have available to us, if we deem it's necessary, the ability to draw down and continue to use their services. We have, as a vestry, we need to do a little bit of orientation with the new members of the vestry, and then that's part of a mindful discussion that we will have both in February and in March in the vestry meeting. We allocated for it, but specifically who, what, when, and where, I don't want to talk until, frankly, we have consensus from the vestry on the direction. There was clearly an intent, because we put $6,000 in, that it was there, but I would be reluctant to make a commitment until we have full consensus from the vestry. Does that answer your question? Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions before prayer? An announcement? Tim?
We have actually lost no one in our choir in the midst of all this.
Thank you, Tim. Focus on health, and all things will follow. And there's a great example. So, Barry, I thank you for asking a question. I'm mindful that this is a meeting where we want to answer questions. Are there any others? All right. If not, then, Jenny, if I could ask you for a benediction.
If we could, I'd love to sing it with you. Let us pray. Unto God's gracious mercy and protection I commit you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both this day and evermore. Amen.
Amen. That concludes.